In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. At this time, I will direct you towards your proper's insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
As for man, his days are like grass.
The
For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. To those who keep his covenant. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. The Lord is merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and
abounding in steadfast love. Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your proper's insert. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will direct you once again to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on the sacrament of the altar. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking?
These words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you, the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
Who receives this sacrament worthily?
Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy, well prepared, who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words for you require all hearts to believe.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit, and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I will direct your attention to page 22 as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing together our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes we struggle with this idea that God is all-powerful. And it's easy enough to know that God, you know, he does have great power, but when it comes to people who believe versus people who do not believe, it creates a little bit of a problem, at least in our sinful human logical minds. If God is all-powerful, couldn't he just make all people believe? And especially as we consider, as Lutherans, that this is all God's work, that he does all of the business of converting us to Christianity, and it's not something we earn, then how does this work? Doesn't God have the kind of power to just make the entire world filled with believers? If we're all born in sin, and God wants all people to be saved, why doesn't he just do it? Well, as you may have imagined, the question is answered in our text for today. The simple answer is that God is all-powerful, but he chooses to work in very specific ways. And so how does God choose to use his power to convert people to Christianity, to put faith into their hearts? He chooses the means of his powerful word. Yes, something as simple as words that God puts all of his power into to create believers in Jesus Christ. And why some people hear and believe and some people do not, Jesus explains to us with a parable. A parable about different varieties of soil. There's the path, there's the rocky ground, there's the thorns, and there's the good soil. Now, the path doesn't really receive the word even a tiny bit, right? It's like it gets thrown on there and there's no opportunity for it to put any kind of roots down whatsoever, and the word becomes easy picking, and Satan comes and snatches it away as if it had never been there at all. The rocky soil will receive the word, at least at first, but only superficially. And without the word being taken to heart, as we prayed in the collect of the day just a moment ago, it fades just as quickly as it springs forth. The thorny soil also receives the word, but all of the cares in this world prevent that plant from creating any fruit. These are the ones who kind of really have their feet set in this world, and their eyes are not even focused on the heavenly things that are to come. In the end, as we know, it's only the good soil that allows the seed, which is God's word, to create faith in a believer, and then that faith leads to good works. Now, I'm not sure about you, but as I was reading through this parable in preparation for this week, I couldn't help but notice that at various times in my life, I am like each one of these soils. Maybe the same is true for you too. Because sometimes the word, it'll come to us, and maybe it's a word of law, a word that we don't like very much, and so we go, well, you know, I'm good with all the Jesus stuff, but this little part of God's word over here, I don't want to amend my sinful life in the ways that God says I should, or I don't really want to believe this part. That's too hard for me. And so we kind of dismiss that part of God's word, and what does Satan do? But he comes, and he snatches it away, and that piece of God's word does not get implanted in our hearts. That's not a good soil to be. Not at all. And at other times, you know, sometimes we get really excited about God's word. Or when God gives us one of those epiphanies, you know, maybe we're reading through the same scripture we've read umpteen different times. And for once, God goes, here, this is the meaning for it in your life right now. And you go, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for revealing it. And we're excited to share with our family and our friends. But then on the other hand, there are times when we are afraid of rejection, or we're uncertain how our family or friends might react if we share that implanted word within us. And we don't speak, and we don't say what God's word says because we're too concerned with
destroying a relationship or whatever else is going on. We care more about what others think than what the Bible has to teach. Again, not a good soil to be. Still, sometimes, we will set aside time for prayer and devotion. That is, unless I have a lot of work to do today, or unless I have a lot of housework to accomplish, or chores to get done, and we allow these less important things to overshadow what God has said is important, which is putting ourselves in Scripture every day, kneeling in prayer every day. Or how many times are we all about, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and then we push the snooze button on our alarm clock one too many times, and we end up missing the service. Or you know, I'm all about being in church on Sunday, that is, unless there's somewhere better for me to be on Sunday. Not a good soil to be. I think it's safe to say that we can associate with each of these different soils, but even so, it doesn't do any good for me to stand up here and tell you God's word is important. You already know that. You're already well aware that God's word is of the utmost importance. And so consider that instead of this parable, instead of it saying how important God's word is in your life, the parable is saying about the importance of how you hear God's word. And so we had our readings today. In fact, you've already listened through almost half of the sermon now. How are you hearing these words of God that are going out over you? Was coming to church today just a check mark on your weekly to-do list? Is opening your Bible any day of the week just another thing you get to cross off and pat yourself on the back with and feel accomplished for doing? Or do we come here, or do we open our Bibles that way we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, that is, take the word to heart? Because that's God's encouragement for you today. Not just to mindlessly kind of go through the motions of being involved in God's words, but to actually hear it and learn it and allow it to mold and shape your life. Because that's the only way we can be good soil. But again, as we started the sermon, we know that it is God's power that is what gives us this word. And so how did this parable start? But a sower went out to sow. And it ended with, "He who has ears, let him hear." We can't even be good soil unless first the sower decides to send his word to us. And so the gospel is proclaimed to you. Sunday in, Sunday out, the word is proclaimed to you and you're reading it. And it means that God is sowing to you. Even right now, his word is coming out to you. That way you might believe it. And this is of the utmost importance because, yes, sometimes we are going to be rocky soil, and sometimes we are going to be thorny soil, and sometimes we are going to be the path, and other times we will receive God's word with joy. But the truth is that whichever camp you run into today, God knows your sin. He knows you're not perfect. He knows you don't always yield the increase that he expects. But he hasn't given up. Because the sower is reckless. You guys, many of you are farmers. How many of you guys take your planter and go ahead and drive down Illinois 54 just spreading your seed all along the highway? I would bet zero, right? None of you do that. Because it's a waste. But what does God do? He sows his seed even where he knows it will never grow. Because in sowing his word to the entire world, in every single location, he is showing his great love. The word of God comes near to all people, that way it might be implanted. And that way forgiveness might be proclaimed to all nations. My friends, you are forgiven. For every time you rejected God's word and didn't allow it in, you're forgiven. For every time you were fearful of persecution from being, rather than being faithful, you are forgiven. For every time you allowed the cares of this world to overshadow the word, you are forgiven. How can that be? And how can this forgiveness be so certain? And I think you already know that too. It's because Jesus came to this earth as the master sower, to one who showed God's word, sowed God's word during his entire earthly ministry. And it wasn't enough just for him to sow it, but he became one of us, that way he might pour out God's love to everyone, that he might open our eyes to the scriptures and our ears to receive his word. He continues to sow his forgiveness. He continues to teach you about his death and resurrection and how important that is for your life. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, we have victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil who wants to snatch that word away. And if Jesus has always done this in his earthly life, even after his ascension, if he's done this, why would we expect him to do anything else? He's going to continue to speak his forgiveness, continue to speak his word into your ears, even when your mind is somewhere else. But his word will not return empty. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. My friends, God's word is very powerful. It's powerful enough to forgive. And it's powerful enough to turn us, rocky soil people, path people, thorny people, it makes us good soil. And if you hear and believe these words of Jesus now, honestly, kind of pulled a fast one on you. It means you were never those soils to begin with. It means you've always been the good soil in Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Your spirit accompanies the witness of your people, who speak your word before the world. Grant success to the missionary and mission planter, to every pastor and church worker, that those who hear may believe, and those who believe may bear the good fruit of faith in their lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations, those who govern, to act for the good of your people. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to lead us, that justice may prevail and your people may live at peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you know how weak and frail we are. Give to those afflicted in mind, body, or soul the fullness of your healing grace, that according to your will, they may be restored to health. Hear us for all those suffering or recovering from the pandemic's ravages, for those who have requested our prayers, and for those who we remember in our hearts.
Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, mighty Lord, you have granted us great riches and gifts. Keep our hearts from being overburdened by the things of this mortal life, whether in time of plenty or in time of want. Deliver us from persecution and sustain us from all tribulation. Accept the tithes and offerings we bring as part of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, mighty Lord, keep us from being tossed about by every wind of change and chance, and help us to endure upon the firm foundation of your word and sacraments. Prepare us so that we may worthily receive the Lord's body and blood, and be kept by this blessed communion to the day when we shall be reunited with all who have gone before. Lord, in your mercy. In him, with him, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. Our service continues on page 24. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, because thou didst mightily govern and protect thy holy church, which the blessed apostles and evangelists instructed in thy divine and saving truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, thou takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, thou takest away the sin of the world.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both strengthened and preserved with body and soul, into life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven.
Our service continues on page 29. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for the closing hymn.